This is an interview with Nick Habersetzer, who served with the Army right after the Korean War. This interview is being conducted at Singer High School in Singer, Wisconsin on May 30th, 2007. The interviewer is Adam Brandt. You just want to kind of start off. You said that the Korean War was going on while you were in high school.
Yes, I graduated in 1954 West Bend High School. Only had one high school at that time. Now it's Badger, but I mean, you know, I was a junior high school. A lot of the seniors left to enlist in the service, and then they came back later on. Instead of getting a GE, they finished their high school. They probably had 6 months ago or something. They were in their senior year already, but they left. They were sold for the United States, however you want to word it, you know what I mean?
Did you know a lot of the people who, like, went over to Korea to serve?
Yeah, quite a few of them, yes, because they were, like, at that time we only had three schools in West Bend. We had McLean, St. John's, Holy Angels, and St. Mary's St. Barton. There was no other schools. So Holy Angels was a very, very big school, and a lot of my upperclassmen, and that time was a rural community, and very small yet, and everybody knew everybody basically in West Bend, you know, heading in school, whatever, and they were all in, all the upperclass were, those days, all of them were basically drafted or enlisted one way or the other.
Now, how did that, like affect you, or, like, what were you thinking while all this was going on?
Respected them, thought it was the right thing, I thought our country was right. It was just a good feeling that these people all were on the same page with the United States, not anti, like, the Vietnam or whatever. Everybody was one big family.
What year did you join?
I joined the service in September of 1955, September 26th of 55.
Okay, and you volunteered.
I enlisted in the service for 3 years, yes.
Yeah, what kind of stuff did you do, like, while you were over in Korea?
Well, I was very glad. I was started out in the service. I was with the infantry first, and then I was the 105 Hauser, and then I was with the 155 Hauser. That's a 9-inch gun versus the 4-inch gun. And then I went in to be at the cook right before I left North Carolina. And then I was stationed in the 121 Evac Hospital over in Korea. That's Askam City. That's about 7 miles out of Incheon, just off where Norby, all that people landed, you know, from there out of Incheon. And then I was stationed at the 121 Evac Hospital, and I was a cook at the hospital for almost... I was either at the hospital or up at the officer's mess up on the hill, or we also had an NCO mess. That was where, like, the sergeants were above it, EM. And I also was a diet cook, especially a cook at the hospital for whatever, you know, diet or whatever you had. You know, let's say if you had a lot of hepatitis over there, and you got fed 5 meals a day, you had to eat for your system, you know. In those days, you were not isolated. Norby or Nate or Adam, you just stayed with other people. Unless you had a real, real bad, then they had a separate ward at the hospital where they'd keep you in. And then I'd take the food cart in there, you know, and then everything had to be sterilized when it came out. But they got fed 5 times a day. Anything they wanted to eat, you made for them just to make sure they eat. Just whatever you would like, Nate, what do you like to eat? I make it for you. I mean, because, you know, you needed the nourishment, you know.
Yeah. So, like, what kind of stuff did you do, you said that you were with the airborne for a while. What kind of stuff did you do with that?
Just like, it would be like regular Army, except you made parachute jumps. That's the only, you were much stricter for discipline and everything else, but you were just like the regular Army, did the same identical thing. The only difference is you were on jump status. You got paid $55 a month extra.
Now, when you were over in Korea, did you notice, like, what kind of stuff did you notice while you were over there?
Well, when you was over there, you hear Norby talk or other veterans talk over there. From the time from 53 to 50, left over 57, there's no difference. It was just like the day when Norby left, other than with no fighting. Everything was the same. There wasn't a thing over there. In fact, when I came back, I worked at Gale Company, the only job I ever had before I started there. You know, and then I came back and had a job, you know. And I told them what that was over there. You're a liar, because they got the National Geographic magazine. In the 70s, late 70s, it looked just like, Seoul looked like New York City already, with the American dollar over there. Before that, lucky if you seen an oxen, that's the only thing you ever seen. You never seen a dog, no cat. And the oxen, they used that for pull the honey buckets. Honey buckets is what they'd haul human waste away, big tubs. It was not, if they wanted Seoul, they walked to Seoul. We couldn't get to nowhere. I mean, we were just, even though we were way back in 57, there's nothing. You didn't get to, you couldn't go to Seoul twice. I mean, you couldn't walk. went to Incheon once on the 2.5. I mean, we only had one truck assigned to the hospital, and that was get rations from Yeongdong Pole or Seoul. And we had a water truck. There was nothing, ambulance we had. In those years, nothing happened. Then after that, the American dollar come over there, and I shouldn't say it, but worked in the hospital. And we fed the Turks. They were very rough people. If you were native, you were in charge, and I didn't behave, you took your belt off and worked me over in the ward. They were very, 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 you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then, I mean, first time I seen it, then they told me to leave, and you could hear them screaming there. They didn't waste no luck.
So
they didn't use no words. I mean, lieutenant, he'd say, Nick, now, if you have any problem, I never turned nobody in. I mean, hey, I fed you. I didn't worry, you know, you were in there because you had yellow jaundice too. That's why you were in there. Unless you weren't in the hospital. If you were, something happened, you were in a separate room. But this, if it was for the yellow jaundice, you know. But they're tough cookies. But otherwise, I can't remember the river that came, from Seoul. I cannot remember the river that entered into Sinchon. High noon, people, they lived in grass huts or mud huts, what you call it. People would be bathing in the river, everybody in the nude, men, women, didn't make it, the Koreans. That was then yet. Oh, and then in the mess hall, we'd get big 36 dozen or so eggs in a case like this, in their cold storage. And you always had to crack, to this day, I crack the egg in a bowl one at a time. I'd not put them in the frying pan. They're rotten. And the KPs, they were always Korean KPs, they'd be behind a wall, they would crack these eggs and put them out, they'd be rotten, they'd spit it out, grab another one.
Now, while you were over there, did you get to interact with a lot of the, like, Korean people?
Oh, sure. Just when you walked to the village, Sinchon was the village. There was nothing there. I mean, just mud. I mean, there was no rest, you couldn't get no water. There was nothing there. There was just, it's hard to describe, there was just nothing there. Got to Seoul once with the ration truck. And there, I did see some old buses, you know, with these decorations, with the, you know, like snakes or whatever you had, you know, what their beliefs were. But that's all they ever. Once I got the soul, I got lucky, you know, on the doosnap, get rations, you know.
Were the people, you know, nice and friendly?
Oh yeah, yeah, they were very nice. They were not anti. Okay, we got paid cash over there, script, that was like make believe money. Script. It wasn't. If you were caught with green money in your billfold, you could be court-martialed because you could not leave the green money. I call it green, you know, or a dollar into the Koreans' hands because of using it back. See, that money was good for all over. They could use it against us. We never could have no. Even then, this is 57. No, we are paid in cash. Script. And what they did once when I was over there, you hear these here stories out, you know, before I went over there, you know, and they changed the money overnight. Now, nobody knew this. It was top secret. Let's say, I don't remember what they were no more, but let's say the $5 bill was green, the 10 maybe was pink. You know, it was all color-coded, just like smaller, like play money here, kind of. Anyway, nobody knew when so much black marketing going on. You could carry, we had PX. You could buy cigarettes were a dollar a carton. They were 15 cents a piece, but if you bought them by the pack, by a dollar a carton, so it'd be a dime a piece then. Anyway, they'd take the cigarettes on the village, and they would black market them. Black market is when you take it and you sell it for a profit down in the... Yeah. There's sort of a lot of script down in the money in the village. Anyway, overnight, nobody noticed here, they changed the money, okay? So we were not allowed to go into the village that day. So all these Koreans, they had all this your script money. And we had that big sentry fence around our compound. It wasn't that big, the hospital. We only had maybe four Quonset huts, just around huts like this here. You could see out the sides some places, you know. Oil burner on one end, kerosene oil burner, you know, fuel oil, whatever it was, you know. I think it was kerosene, I think it was. Then these Koreans would be trying to hang. Nobody could go near they had MPs all over. You couldn't go near the fence. Because let's say you're a Korean now, you give me a whole bunch of money and just want a dollar or just anything back, you know, because the money was only good that day. If I did have some money, whatever, for shekels or hidden, you know, I had to have it reported right then and there when I was being interviewed to turn my money in or whatever. Yeah, then they gave you new money. But I could not, okay, then I was over here. I could not go over here because people here didn't have the money turned in yet, you see. It was a one-day deal. Next day, the money, you could go down and look, that script was laying all over the place because it was no good no more.
What was it like after you got back home then from meeting over there?
We left there by ship. We came in San Francisco, and I don't know, I think it was on a Thursday or Wednesday, I can't say for sure no more. And then we got on a bus or something. We went to, I think it was the Air Force base over there, I'm not sure which one was no more, and it was in at midnight we got there. It was late at night, about midnight. They fed us something, and then we got on a plane right away, and we flew into Fort Sheridan, Illinois. And I think we got in Fort Sheridan, Illinois, I'm going to say, let's say Thursday night, something like that, or Thursday afternoon. We left here, but got in here by midnight. And they said, you guys, behave yourself, do real good. We can have you out by noon on Saturday. Well, we were just like angels. I mean, everybody, you know, and we got mustering out pay. I didn't, funny, my brother, older brother, he went in February of 55. He got $300 mustering out pay, like Norby did, $100, $100, $100. And I went in September, we got nothing. Then it was all cut out already. So the Army, it was July 1st is the physical year when things changed, not like January, it's July 1st. And we did away with the muster and out pay and a lot of stuff. They lost a lot of, you know, it was peacetime then versus, you know, before, you know.
Yeah.
So we got our pay with it coming. We got 30 days, I guess you could call it vacation pay, whatever you want to call it. 30 days a year we got...
Furlough,
that's right, for furlough. You know what I mean? And we didn't get no furlough, you know. Got to go to Japan on R&R for, you know, for 7 days, you know. And but we didn't use our furlough time, so we had 30 days of working time coming. So like it was $112 or something I got for a month's pay, you know, something like that. That's overseas pay and, you know, my regular pay, you know. And then I had whatever it was for the month of August there, you know. That was not quite a full month, I mean, you know, plus my mustering out pay, you know, the cash we got. And then we hitchhiked home from Fort Sheridan, Illinois, got this side of Chicago someplace, and I got another ride. That time they just put in Highway 41 when I was gone for service. And then a guy gave me a ride within a mile of our house. Real nice older gentleman. We stopped. He bought me a beer in St. Anthony, a little town over by Ellington there. And then where D goes to 41 and W goes, that left me off there. And then I walked from there. My folks lived in Colesville at the time, you know. Stuffed a bag. Wasn't much in there. We had two sets of clothes. You know, we were only letting out three. The coat what you had on plus two more sets. We had to leave that all over in Korea because of disease, you know.